This is Only a Game. I'm Bill Littlefield.
I love my school. You know, I got to start under the great Pete Carroll. I think college sports is an amazing thing. You know, it gives you a strong work ethic.
Bob Demars played football at USC from 1997 to 2001. He started only two games. Still, he took a lot of hits. Repairs were costly.
You know, I started kind of adding up my body parts. You know, my knees, my back, my shoulder. These are just some of the things that are inherent to a violent sport. And I started wondering if, you know, if we added all that up, would that outweigh the benefits of my free education?
Demars studied business administration at USC. After graduation, he became a filmmaker, and he started thinking about producing a documentary about those body parts and how they weren't working as well as they once had, and how he was on the hook for rebuilding them. He might have continued along that line if he hadn't suddenly found himself with a house guest and a more pressing issue to confront.
Everything changed when a guy named Scott Ross came and lived with me. My roommate asked if his buddy could crash on the couch for a while. That was supposed to be a week, you know, and 7 months later, it was like, all right, Scott, you know, what's the plan here?
After graduation, Scott Ross had found himself a good job. He began building a career. He was married. He had a family. But by the time he showed up on Bob Demars' couch, that was all gone.
Scott Ross was linebacker next to Junior Seau when he played at USC. So he was a legend. You know, I'd seen him on the walls. He was an All-American. He was in all the defensive meeting rooms, like pictures of him everywhere. And when I met him, you know, he was a shell of those pictures that you see on the wall. He wasn't anything like that. You know, he was 39 years old. He just lost his job, and he was diagnosed with dementia at the age of 39.
Demars began thinking about including Scott Ross in his documentary. Unlike Demars, Ross had been a college star. Like Demars, he'd suffered his share of injuries, some of them more obvious than others. At the time, Demars still felt his film would be about the knee, shoulder, and back issues, the stuff surgeons and physical therapists address. And then, in the middle of a working day, suddenly he had something else to worry about.
I was in a meeting at Jeremy Renner's company, not far from where I'm sitting right now. And we were in there. He wasn't actually in the meeting. We were meeting with his people, and they were pitching us things, and we were pitching them things. And it was a typical pitch meeting. And all of a sudden, you know, I felt the back of my head get warm. And the room got really long. You know, I was in this flannel shirt, and it just got really hot. It literally felt like somebody slipped me some type of drug because it was such a physical sensation. You know, I wanted to run out of the room, but I knew, you know, the part of me that was still there goes, wait a minute, that's crazy. You can't just run out of the room in the middle of a meeting. So I just sat there and I wrote it out. And, you know, luckily the two people that were talking in the meeting, you know, didn't ever notice because they were busy chatting it up.
If they were movie people, they were only listening to themselves.
Pretty much, right? You know, it's like, okay, everybody's just talking about their project, and you know, I'm sitting over here just like feeling like I'm dying.
Fortunately, Demars wasn't dying. He would learn that he'd had a panic attack. Neither Demars nor his doctors initially associated the attack with the concussions Demars had suffered playing football. Eventually, they would make that connection. Still, Demars wasn't sure he wanted to talk about it.
But the reality is, I can't ask Scott Ross to give me his warts and all, and then have me not to do the same.
It took a while to gather the money to make the documentary. Demars had to find the right doctors and experts, and he had to convince them to participate. As he was doing so, Scott Ross's condition was deteriorating.
You know, I think that is the hardest part in making this film. You know, I was somebody that Scott could call on when he needed help. And, you know, you get him on the phone, he'd be rambling and, you know, his thoughts would be really misplaced. And, you know, I'd get calls at 2 a.m, you know, where he would be in a really dark place. And, you know, he'd say, you know, if the handle on this bottle was, you know, trigger, I'd pull it. You know, my wife would be getting up at 5:30 to leave for work and I'd still be on the phone. But the day that we interviewed him, it was interesting because, well, first he was 4 hours late to the interview. You know, I flew this crew out there, you know, we're waiting in front of an IHOP for 4 hours and finally he shows up, you know, but for some reason that day when we interviewed him, it was almost like, I don't know, the powers that be, God, whatever you want to call it, gave him his brain back for one day. And he was just lucid, and he was speaking in sound bites, and for 5 hours, he was just on it.
In your whole career, how many concussions do you think you received?
I know the ones that I can remember, 12. And I can't tell you how many times I blacked out on the field and shook my head and, you know, did one of those and tried to get my senses and walked right back to the huddle. And the whole next play, just sort of hoping they didn't run my way.
Scott Ross discussed the long-term and not-so-long-term consequences of those days on the field.
Right now, I take 8 Norcos a day. I have the 2 pain pills and a seizure pill.
He was on all sorts of pills. I mean, he had a whole giant, almost like suitcase-sized pill box for all of the conditions that came with all the violent collisions he had over the years.
And there's been a couple times when I didn't have access to my anxiety pills. And the only other thing out there was a can of Budweiser.
He would go into, you know, violent outbursts when he was drinking. That wasn't something that he had a problem with early in his life. You know, there were some things that he didn't want to talk about, mm-hmm. too. It's difficult for people to reconcile the person that they knew with the person that they've become. And, you know, Scott was loved by everybody. But after a while, you know, you'd have Scott around for a while. You'd be worried about your family or, you know, that he could have an outburst or something bad might happen. Or he might drink and go off the rails and you'd have to contain him.
At some points during the documentary, which is titled The Business of Amateurs, Ross seems to be just talking with a friend rather than speaking to the camera.
Hopefully, when you get to be in your 40s and 50s, you're okay. And you still have enough people around you to take care of you. Because the end will come. And you can't be a gladiator your whole life.
The interview went on for 5 hours. Scott Ross was able to keep it together throughout that time, and then it was over.
As soon as we dropped him off at the Motel 6, you know, he was completely wiped out. I mean, he could barely walk. Somebody with a brain injury like Scott, 5 hours is a lot. Mm. He gets wiped out. I mean, that's a big part of why he can't work anymore. You know, there's no system of support set up for any of these guys from college that deal with anything related to disability. In fact, it's still an NCAA violation for a school to help an athlete with disability.
How did you learn of his death?
His girlfriend called me. It was at 10:30 at night. His ex-girlfriend, Laura, was calling me. I knew what it was. I just instantly knew that Scott was dead. And I think one of the, I guess, things that make me feel guilty about this film is I let it go to voicemail because I knew that I had to record it for the film. It's something difficult to reconcile with, but, you know, I miss my friend all the time.
Scott Ross died in September of 2014 while DeMars was in the middle of editing his film.
I'd been having talks with USC at the time, and you know, one of the administrators had said, well, what does Scott need? How can we help him? I know that USC would have stepped up and helped him if that wasn't a violation. I definitely had some anger there because, you know, his body was found in a church and had been sitting there decomposing for a week before somebody found him. I feel like a legend like Scott deserves more respect than that.
Bob DeMars hopes that including Scott Ross's story in The Business of Amateurs will alert athletes, their parents, and football fans not only to the risks players face, but to the responsibility DeMars feels the colleges, universities, and the NCAA should be assuming for the welfare of those players.
I learned a lot about college athlete rights. It's almost like I got my master's in it, spending the 3 years making this film. And I think it's, you know, when it comes to the things that aren't arguable, I think, you know, putting players' health first, you know, you can talk about salaries all you want. I think that's the last step, if it's a necessary step at all. You know, there's $1 billion in new revenue in the sport every year. We could cover all of our athletes for their injuries.
Even after the film was finished, DeMars didn't stop learning.
You know, we've had screenings of my film, and I've had about half a dozen of my teammates from USC came up to me after the screening, and they whispered in my ear, I have what you have. I know that there's guys that are out there suffering.
Football players at all levels know more about head injuries than they did a decade ago. Even the NFL has acknowledged connections between head injuries and conditions such as chronic traumatic encephalopathy, Parkinson's disease, memory loss, mood swings, and depression. And the documentary doesn't neglect all the other ways in which football can beat up those who play it. In The Business of Amateurs, Bob DeMars points out that the college game has lagged behind the NFL in terms of diagnosing, treating, and taking responsibility for all sorts of injuries. He's trying to bring to a larger audience the problems numbers of former college players face. It hasn't been easy or pain-free.
There's a certain amount of guilt that comes in knowing that, you know, Scott's story and losing Scott elevates the film to a certain degree. But at the end of the day, you know, Scott's story being shown in this film is really the silver lining that, you know, that his story may change the system. It may save lives, and it definitely put a bigger burden to get it right and to make sure that this film becomes Scott's legacy and his story lives on.
The Business of Amateurs is available now through iTunes, Amazon, and other pay-per-view and video on-demand services.